the branch, and the star. You know, our Father makes many promises. He told us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a virgin's going to conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. Now, we know from the course of Abia that Zechariah was serving in Luke chapter 1, that it was the conception that took place on December the 25th. But then that's when the Holy Spirit began dwelling with us on December the 25th. For when Mary conceived that day, December the 25th, she rushed to her cousin Elizabeth, who was already 6 months with John the Baptist, that is to say. And what did John do? He leapt in her womb at the approach of Mary because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, as an educated Christian, you want to always bear these things in mind. Open always the promises of God. He promised us all things long ago. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 23. This is the chapter that in the closing verses, which we won't be covering today, God said, don't you ever dare say what burden has God put on us today, or I'll dump a burden on you you won't forget. So you don't ever want to accuse our Father of dumping burdens. People do. Okay. But this is that's how the chapter ends. This is how it begins. Chapter 23, Jeremiah. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Well, how would they do that? By not teaching truth. By teaching their traditions rather than the Word of God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Feed them a bunch of malarkey. Okay? Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. You can count on it. He's going to do it. You know, I'm glad that judgment begins at the pulpit, because that's where it should begin. And those that do mislead, they're going to pay, okay? But how can I tell if someone, well, whether they teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse or not? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Are they teaching their own Word or the Word of God? Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock, that's his election, out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. That's going to happen. Well, has it happened yet? No, it hasn't. But it's His promise. It is written. That's exactly the way it'll be. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Lacking in what? Knowledge, wisdom, or necessities. If you obey God and follow Him, He gives you a brain, and if you use it, and you use common sense, you're going to always do real good because you have the blessings of God. And that just sets you aside from other people that are scattered, that know not the truth, that don't depend on our Father, that leave him out of the equation of their life. And of all times of the conception, it's a time you don't want to do that. Okay. Verse 5, behold, the days come, and they're going to, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. This word branch is an interesting word, and I want you to learn it. It's zanak in the Hebrew tongue. And it means the sprout or the offshoot of who? Of God Himself. It also, when we go into the signs that God gave the world, in the zodiac, in Virgo, which is the virgin, the very brightest star in the sign, in the zodiac of the Virgin Virgo, is Zanak, which is the branch, which is the child. Okay? That's the child that virgin Virgo would bring forth. You see, these signs are in heaven. You're not supposed to make a religion out of it. But it's a second witness to the Word of God that He always keeps His Word. So that branch, Zemach, in the Hebrew tongue, means that sprout or that offshoot, the real truth of coming from Almighty God, because He is God with us, Emmanuel. Again, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And so it is that he is our righteousness. Why? Because he's going to always do you right. Do you understand what that means? Righteousness means he's going to do you right. As long as you will listen to him and, let me add, obey him. Our people have been blessed as they were driven over the Caucasus Mountain, Caucasian, settled Europe, later Canada and America, the tribes to the north. And this is his guarantee. This is his blessing. And that's why we are blessed today. And how we can be going around the world without begging for money. Why? Because God blesses us. God blesses us. Why? Because we obey him the best we can. Nobody's perfect, but we sure give it a try. And Father amplifies that into service and reward also to the people that listen, that hear. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say. They're not going to say, the Lord liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. A greater thing than even that's about to happen that they're going to say about him. What is it? Verse 8. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And so it is. That's his promise. And as it's written in that great book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and where Christ, Almighty Father, says, hey, remember those promises I made to you? Mention them to me. Let's talk about it. In other words, you have to know his word and know the promises before God's going to talk to you about it. Therefore, you claim them and talk to him about it, and you're in pretty good shape, my friend. And that is his guarantee. And he does not go back on his word. Let's go, if we may, to the minor prophets. I want to go to Micah. Micah chapter 5 in the minor prophets. And Micah in the Hebrew tongue, which we happen to be doing on television right now, is, who is like Yahweh? The answer is, it's one of the only titles that's a question. Micah, who is like Yahweh? The answer, nobody. He's our Father, and he stands alone. Okay. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, listen carefully. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And naturally, that's where that birth took place. And the geographical location, Bethlehem. Oh, what does Bethlehem mean? It means the house of bread. And Christ is the bread of life. When you partake of that bread in Holy Communion, his body took the stripes, you get the healing. And there you have that precious thing that was promised. And we continue with the next, let's take verse 4 again. And he shall stand and feed the strength of the Lord in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Not after the birth, he's never left us. On Pentecost Day, that 40th day, then came the 50th day, and the Holy Spirit began dwelling with us. He never left us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And if you have the faith to know and believe, he will always bless you. You can count on it. You're different. You love him. That's why he created you. That's why that his love goes to you, and he loves you so immensely. And this man shall be the peace which the Assyrian shall come into our land, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. You know who the Assyrian is symbolic of? It's the Antichrist. He is our victory over the Antichrist, for as it is written in Mark 13, when you're delivered up, don't you premeditate what you'll say. The Holy Spirit will speak through you, just as it was done on that Pentecost day. Not an unknown tongue in Acts 2, verse 6, but a tongue that every person understood, regardless of what language they spoke, because it was not man speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And so it shall be when you're delivered up against the Assyrian, that is to say, the Antichrist. This one, this infant born of that woman, came to the earth this time to be crucified to give us these things. He's returning not to be crucified, but to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 6, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod. You understand who that is? Nimrod is Babel or Babylon, which is to say Iraq of today, if you want to, that part of the country. In the entrance thereof, thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob, that's all 12 tribes, shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And so it is. One more verse. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest as a young lion. And we'll stop there in this reading. You're supposed to be as the dew dropping what? The Word of God. The truth that leads people, that strengthens people, that gives people hope and success rather than failure. What a father to serve. He promised this long ago that this one would come through Bethlehem. And so it is even to this day. Now, let us go to the New Testament, first book of the New Testament, the great book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 in the New Testament. I don't want you to forget about Bethlehem, because we're going to be going there. A lot of things happened at Bethlehem that a lot of people are not conscious of. And we'll be covering it in this particular chapter. It has a great deal to do with our history. History is simply his story. And it's important because it's your family. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that house of bread of Judea, that's of Judah in the Hebrew tongue, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And many claim there were three. It isn't written. They had 3 gifts, and they jumped to the conclusion that there were 3. But they were sent. How were they sent? Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Properly translated, King of Judea, of Israel. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Here is that star, Zemach, that's symbolic of it. Do you think this is new? It isn't. You don't have to turn there. Hold your place here. Way back to Numbers chapter 24. Way back to Numbers 24. God would say in verse 16, He hath said, which heard the words of God. Whose words is this? The words of God. And knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And this is the message. 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star, I repeat, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, that's ruler, kingship, shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth. Seth has no article here in the Hebrew, but properly translate the word Seth, which means tumult. It means those children that are in tumult, not Seth's children. Okay, verse 18. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. In other words, Christ is going to return. Those that love him, regardless of what country they're from, are going to be in good standing. But those that are against him, what? Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Verse 20. And when he looked on Amalek, this is Esau's children, son of Esau, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that to perish forever. He's not going to change. Listen carefully, 21. And he looked on the Kenites. Kenites is the Hebrew word that simply means the sons of Cain, the enemy of Christians and will be forever, always have been. Well, could they even change? If they love the Lord, they become sons of God. But they can't fool God. You can't con him. Looked on the Kenites and took up this parable. What was that parable? What did they say? And said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive, another name for the Antichrist. And he took up this parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? You will. The generation of the fig tree. So, our Father loves his children. That star was promised a long time ago. And that star led the way. Zemeca, the very brightest star, the very brightest star in the zodiac, in the sign of Virgo, the virgin. Verse 3, continuing in chapter 2, the great book of Matthew. When Herod, the king, and had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I mean, you know, to not worship Caesar was bad business. Okay. 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, not of God, you understand, but of the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they're searching scriptures here. Would you believe they even had a few scholars among them? 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. See, they were quoting Micah chapter 5 that we just read a moment ago. For thus it is written by the prophet. What prophet? The prophet Micah. 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This goes all the way back, we're not going there, but to Genesis chapter 49:10, that Judah would carry the scepter, and so it is. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he's pumping them, spying on them, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, wanting to know. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Oh, yeah. We always have those enemies against Christianity, beloved. You don't have to watch much television or news today to know and understand the terrible stand that comes against Christians, and even especially Christians on college campuses that openly confess Christ. They get a hard row, but they're tough kids. They can cut it. They can handle it. Okay. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, what is it now? The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. There's that branch, the branch, the child, the spouse of Almighty God that changes lives to this day. And I do mean changes them. And God's very sign, as he predicted in Genesis chapter 1, that he gave the stars, the moon, not for a religion, but for signs. And there that sign was, Zemak. I'm not saying it was the star, Zemak, but it was a sign from it. 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That's hard to even put in words how excited they were, how blessed. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts, and this is why many think it was three wise men, and they base it on that. I don't know if you caught it or not, but it didn't say in the manger. It said in the house, and it is believed by scholars that they had returned from Bethlehem to Nazareth, back to their home, and in their home when the star actually led them there. That's a miracle. That's God taking care of his own. And that is God taking care of the Messiah. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And so they did. 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That was God letting them know, okay? Do you understand? I want you to take something from this. I want you to know that God knows what happens in your life, his elect's life. He will lead and guide you and shape you when you believe and when you pray for his guidance and listen. He's going to bless you. He takes care of everything that you can't take care of. Did you catch what I said? That you can't take care of, because don't be lazy. God hates sluggards. Doesn't like lazy people. Won't bless them. You have to do what you can do, and he'll take care of the rest. 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Joseph was a good man. 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And that's Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, to make sure there wasn't a ruler of Israel, because they were considered enemy. 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And here we have in, where is Ephrath? It's Bethlehem. The last of the 12 tribes was born in Bethlehem, the same place Christ was, same city that Christ was. And this wife that he loved so well, and the second child by her, for she was barren for some time, the second child, she died in childbirth, Rachel did. And she was crying, and she named the boy Beni, which is to say, son of my sorrow. And the father changed his name to Benjamin, which is to say, son of my right hand. But Rachel died there in Bethlehem, giving birth to the last of the 12. But yet at the same time, Mary would give birth to the branch, that star, which would lead the people. So Rachel's children were not gone. And she was weeping for naught, because that Savior would bring those children. For God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You see, not even Satan has died yet. If you're absent from this body, you're present with the Lord. And these flesh bodies go back to dust from which they came. But here she is now, knowing that, not weeping any longer, but rejoicing. For she knows the end generation. She knows what happened in Bethlehem. That house of bread, when he that is the true bread of life, when you need a healing, and when you hunger for the Word and you come across something you can't understand, then He can understand, and all you have to do is ask Him. And He will open that to you if you ask in faith and with knowledge to understand the very Word of God, which that bread is, which we partake of, that originated in that little town, Bethlehem, which was the birthplace of Jesus, but also Benjamin. And we continue then with the 19th verse. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. They're gone. 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. 22, and when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. This also was prophecy, nothing by accident. I want you to latch on to that. I want you to hold it. Why? Verse 23 explains. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. And so it was in many places, Isaiah 11 and so forth. But there we have that star, Zamak. And God is so good to us that He gives us the brightest star in the sign of Virgo, the virgin, the child that would be brought forth. Your Savior, your kinsman. As a matter of fact, your kinsman redeemer, because He will redeem you if you love Him and if you believe Him. In closing, go with me back to the Minor Prophets, to the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah, chapter 3. This is where all crowns are melted together and melted into one crown for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the chapter just preceding where the two witnesses appear, in chapter 4. But it's important that you understand what chapter 3 has to say, okay, concerning our Father's work in this generation. Chapter 3, verse 6, "And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying," this is the Lord Himself speaking, you understand? Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge," that's my ordinances, what I say, "then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." That's to say, the very angels themselves. Verse 8, listen carefully. "Hear now, O Joshua." You know what Joshua is in the Hebrew tongue? It's Yahshua. Okay, so that you understand what we're talking about here. Or to the English-speaking person, Jesus. Okay. "O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." And so it is that he will bring forth that branch. You can count on it. He has. But he's coming at the second advent. But he's choosing a people and preparing the way even now. And that is obvious because of success among God's election. Verse 9, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes," that's 7,000 of God's election that have eyes to see. "Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day." You know what day that is? That's the Lord's day. It's coming. And that one day, well just a moment, how long is that one day then? Well, as it is written in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man." It's the millennium. Okay. Time of teaching. That's when the dew drops from heaven, the real truth. And many people are going to be taught. And it will be those that have not an opportunity to hear the truth today. They're going to know it. And they're going to understand. Verse 10, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." And if we were to continue on, and we're not into that fourth chapter, we would see a great menorah. And in it there would be a reservoir of oil, olive oil. And it would flow not even by gravity, but by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that oil is symbolic of truth, the real Word of God. And God simply leveled the mountains. And that stone with the seven eyes, which is God's 7,000 election, was on a string called, and made a plumb bob to keep things straight on. No crooked here, no crooked there, no wavy here, no wavy there. Straight on the Word of God. And we saw the end thereof. And these two sons of oil, there's no gender. One could be a female even. We don't know. But it calls them offspring, sons of oil. That's the two witnesses that will come up at that time to be against the Assyrian or against the false Christ. What, you know, even the prophets wanted to live in this generation, and you do. What an exciting time to live when God is consummating the end of this age. No one knows exactly, but we do know the season. That's to say, the generation. We thank our Father for that. Yes, He promised the star, which is a sign of Samach, the sprout, which is to say the offspring of Almighty God that would dwell with us. And as it is written in the great book of St. John, chapter 1, the Word became flesh and walked among us, for He is the living Word. That's why you want to hang on to Him. That branch. That star. And don't get all bent out of shape that the conception took place on the 25th rather than the birth. Make hay while the sun shines. There are very few children that even hear of Christ except at this time. So teach truth and always be blessed of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the Word. Thank You, Father, for Your many blessings. Thank You for the truth. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.